Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to be alive. It's good to be able to have this opportunity to be able to worship our great God, to remember the sacrifice of our Son, to be with those of the like precious faith as we offer worship up to our God. I'm certainly thankful for the men of this congregation, the men who led us in prayer this morning. Prayer is an important part of our worship service. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that after the church was established, it says, speaking of the church, the brethren, that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. As I said, prayer is an important part of our worship assembly. According to 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, God has commanded that holy men of God pray. And that's what we see happening even today. Holy men of God leading the congregation in prayer. Not only is prayer an important part of our worship assembly, but prayer needs to be an important part of our daily lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 17, we are to pray without ceasing. Jesus taught His disciples in Matthew 6 how to pray. Jesus Himself was a man of prayer. In Mark 1, verse 35, speaking of Jesus, rising up a great while before the day, He departed into a solitary place and there He prayed. And He encourages us to pray. And God's Word has so much to say about the power of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, we read about different kinds of prayers. Prayers in general, intercessions, supplications, general prayers for all different kinds of people. For those who are in positions of authority all the way down, Paul says, to all men. And so hopefully you can see that we are commanded to pray and that prayer is an important part of our worship service and that prayer is an important part of our daily life. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in prayer, he says, you take those cares, those concerns to the throne of God. And that's what we have, that privilege that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm also convinced that if we're going to have a strong, healthy relationship with God, we're going to have a solid prayer life, a good prayer life, a healthy prayer life. The kind of prayer life that we see in David in Psalm 5, verse 3, David says, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto Thee. In the morning, O Lord, you're going to hear my voice. When was the last time God heard your voice? When was the last time God heard my voice? You know, as we stop and hear another lesson on prayer in all reality, I think sometimes prayer is something that we all struggle with. We struggle with prayer at times. We don't know when to pray. We may not know how to pray. It may be that we have a lack of faith and we're wondering, is God going to hear my prayers? Does He have time to hear my prayers? How can He hear everybody's prayer? Or it may be that we become so busy, and it's easy to become busy doing this or doing that, we forget to pray. How many of you, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you go through daily life forgetting to pray? As I said, prayer is something that we all struggle with in different ways. I think you can see that this morning our lesson is going to be centering on prayer, but I don't want this to just be another ordinary lesson on prayer. This morning I want to stir up your pure minds and encourage you to pray more. To pray during those times of prosperity, but also learning to pray during those times of despair. And so, what can I say this morning from God's Word that can stir up our pure minds to want to pray more to God? Well, to stir up our pure minds, I want us to turn our attention to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And if I'm throwing you off with that, that's my intention. Because the book of Revelation is known for the suffering saints that are encouraged, Revelation 2 verse 10, to be faithful unto death. The book of Revelation is also known for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Revelation 3 verse 5 teaches us that if we're faithful, if we overcome, we'll be clothed with white raiment and God will not blot out our names out of the book of life, but our Lord will confess our names before His Father. The book of Revelation is all about victory, about overcoming Satan, self, and sin. And God says, you can come over and live with me forever. And it's a great book that emphasizes those points. The book of Revelation is known for those points. But the book of Revelation should also be known for the power of prayer. Because prayer plays a significant part in the victory that we read about in the book of Revelation. That victory is brought about because of the prayers of the saints. And so not only is the book of Revelation known for the suffering saints and the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, but the book of Revelation also is known for the power of prayer. And what we want to do with our time this morning is to turn to the book of Revelation. And basically we're going to look at four passages. These four passages center around the power of prayer. And I believe after studying out these four passages from the book of Revelation, all of us this morning will want to pray more to our God. All of us are going to want to engage in this spiritual blessing, this privilege of being able to talk to God, being able to communicate to God. And so let's begin our study by turning to our first passage found in Revelation 5, verse number 8. Now, it's going to be somewhat of a challenge to look at these different passages and to try to keep the context and the overall thought in mind as we focus in on prayer. But we're going to do our best this morning because these four passages on prayer are very, very powerful. The first passage, again, is coming from Revelation 5, and we're going to read verse number 8. Revelation 5, and notice with me verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, earlier in chapter 5, going back to verse number 1, we read about a strong angel who asked who is worthy to open this book. This book contains seals that that will be open. But the angel asks a great question. Who is worthy to open this book that is sealed, that contains this information? And we see as you continue to read, John began to weep because no man on earth was worthy to open that book, to break those seals, to see the information that was contained in this book. But then the angel told John, stop weeping. Stop weeping, John, because there is one who is worthy to break those seals, to look into the book. And we read about the Lamb of God. Look at verse number 7. And he came, speaking about Christ, and took the book out of the right hand of him, the Father, that sat upon the throne. And then in verse number 8, we read about the 24 elders falling down and worshiping the Lamb. And we read about those golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, as we think about those golden bowls full of odors, you'll notice, which are the prayers of the saints. We're reading something that is very interesting here in the book of Revelation. And it really goes back to chapter 1, which is really foundational to even understanding the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was revealed in signs and symbols. And so when we approach the book of Revelation, we are approaching a symbolic book. God is revealing divine truths to the saints, to His people through symbolic language. Now as we consider those signs, those symbols, that symbolic language through the book of Revelation, sometimes we're told what those signs, those symbols symbolize. Sometimes we're not told. But you'll see in Revelation 1, verse 1, that this book was revealed through symbolic language. We just read about the Lamb. Well, in the book of Revelation, the Lamb refers to Jesus. In the book of Revelation, we read about that great dragon, the devil, that serpent, the deceiver of the whole world. In chapter 1, we read about the lampstands, which represents the church. In chapter 7, we read about the 144,000, and the 144,000 represent the redeemed of all ages. Well, here in Revelation 5, we're reading about these golden bowls that are full of sweet incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. Well, what does all of this symbolize? This symbolizes this first point from Revelation 5, verse 8. When we consider the subject of prayer from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8, we are viewing prayer from God's vantage point. We are viewing prayer as God sees it, and that makes all the difference in the world. This is how God sees the prayers of the saints, as golden bowls, not paper bowls full of rubbish, not buckets of debris, but listen to it, golden bowls. It's important for us, if we're ever going to pray to God like we should, to see prayer from God's vantage point. And that's what God is showing us here in Revelation 5. This is how God sees the prayers of the saints, as golden bowls. Something that's precious, something that is beautiful, something that is well-pleasing in the eyes of our God. If it's well-pleasing in the eyes of God, if prayer is precious and beautiful and meaningful to God, that's going to encourage us to pray more to God, because we will see prayer as something that is beautiful, something that is meaningful. We will see that prayer is not a burden. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 15, verse 8. The prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in the prayers of His people. How do you know that? Because of what is revealed here in Revelation 5, verse 8, from God's vantage point. He describes prayers as golden bowls full of sweet incense, of a sweet odor. Remember that next time you pray to God. You're not wasting His time. You're not burdening God. This is something that He takes great delight in. You see how the book of Revelation can help us pray without ceasing? Do you see how the book of Revelation can cause us to want to be more fervent in prayer? Like David, Lord, in the morning You will hear my prayer. Lord, in the morning I'm going to direct my prayer unto Thee because I know that this is something that You delight in. This is something that is so meaningful to You, Father. And so we come to Him in prayer. Notice the second verse that we want to focus on. It's found in Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Notice with me Revelation 6, and let's read verses 9 and 10. Revelation 6, and let's read verses 9 and 10, and then we'll talk about these verses. And when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Look at verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Remember, what does prayer look like to God? As golden bowls. But now here in Revelation 6, we see the fallen saints. We see fallen saints continuing in their prayers. Now you'll notice from chapter 6 that all of this is captured under the fifth seal. The book of Revelation or the message of the book of Revelation is seen in these seven seals, these seven trumpets, and then these seven bowls. Now, the seven seals contain an important message. The seven trumpets denote partial judgment. But the seven bowls that we read about in the book of Revelation symbolize God pouring out His wrath upon the Roman Empire. Now, as I said, the message is contained in these seven seals. In fact, as you go back and you study those seven seals, the first seal is open. You remember what John sees? John sees a white horse. The white horse symbolizes conquest. That second seal is open, and John then sees a red horse. That red horse symbolizes war. John opens that third seal and he sees that black horse, and that black horse symbolizes famine. And then the Apostle John, as he sees that fourth seal open, he sees a white horse, a pale horse, and that symbolizes death and Hades. The death of the saints that we're reading about right here in Revelation 6. And it only makes sense as the Apostle John sees that fifth seal open that John sees those spirits that were slain for a heavenly cause in verse number 10 crying out, Lord, how long? Here's the point from chapter 6. Their prayers did not cease. Their prayers did not cease. From chapter 5, we see that prayer is a beautiful thing. Chapter 6, prayer is something that we should be persistent in. Something that we should do. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, I promise you, you hear anybody stand up here and deliver a lesson on prayer, they're going to quote 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 every time, rightfully so. Pray without ceasing. But what is it that helps us to understand that? What is it that can help us to have that kind of spirit, that kind of motivation? To pray without ceasing, to pray during times of prosperity, but then to pray in times of despair. Look at the fallen saints. Here in chapter 6, their souls were under the altar. I believe that's interesting. Their souls. Here we're reading about their spirits being in the Hadean realm, Abraham's bosom. And their prayers have not ceased. They're still crying out. How do you know that's talking about prayer? You'll see this later on in the book of Revelation, and you'll see it as this continues to develop. But the point is, from chapter 6, they did not cease from praying. And you and I stop and think about it. We shouldn't stop praying. We're not, again, wasting God's time. We should continually pray to God because God cares for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we are to cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. Prayer is a beautiful thing. God sees it as golden bowls. And prayer, chapter 6, is something that we need to be persistent in. We see the fallen saints continue to pray to God. Now let's turn our attention to chapter 8. Notice with me chapter 8. And as we look at chapter 8 together, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Perhaps maybe this is my favorite section here in the book of Revelation, because it really maybe opened my eyes to the preciousness of prayer. Think about Revelation 8, 1 through 6, beginning at verse 1. And when He opened the seventh seal... Remember the seals that we just talked about. And as you think about the seventh seal, the last seal, and you'll notice this with the seal, the trumpets, and the bowls. And you'll see this pattern. The seventh seal gives way to the seven trumpets, that partial judgment. And the seventh trumpet will give way to the seven bowls, representing God's wrath, God pouring out His wrath. And so when He opened the seventh seal, listen to it, there was silence. You can only imagine that. There was silence in heaven. When you go back to Revelation 4 and 5, there was a lot of worship. There was a lot of noise being made. But now there is silence in heaven. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up, listen to it, with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast into the earth how there were voices, listen to this, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You remember chapter 6, the question, the cry, Lord, how long? They cease not to continue in prayer. Now here in chapter 8, as we began to read about those seven trumpets, and remember the seven trumpets represents that partial judgment. God's message has been revealed. Now God is going to begin to pour out judgment, partial judgment upon the Roman Empire. And what God is doing is giving the Roman Empire time to repent. You will see that in chapter 9. God is being patient even with heathen nations. You'll notice the language, verse number 5, thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Again, those things symbolize judgment. God is now beginning to pour out judgment upon the Roman Empire. But what does all of this symbolize? Well, friends, the key to understanding chapter 8 is this. God hears our prayers. Chapter 6, they're crying out. Chapter 8, we see that prayer gets heaven's attention. There's silence in heaven. We see prayers were being offered. They were coming up as sweet incense. And so from Revelation 8, we see this point about prayer. Sincere prayer gets God's attention. 1 Peter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers. As I said, sometimes I think we struggle with prayer. Does God have time to hear my voice? Does God care about what's going on in my life? I'm hurting and I don't know what to think. And if I cry out to Him, will He really listen to me? Well, here in chapter 8, next time you pray, you remember that your prayers, they get God's attention. God is listening to you. God wants to hear you. That's what the book of Revelation reveals. Prayer is a beautiful thing. Chapter 6, prayer is something that we should be persistent in. The fallen saints, they're continuing to pray. Chapter 8, God hears those prayers. God hears those prayers. Chapter 8, those prayers get His attention. Let's turn to the last passage, chapter 18. Chapter 18. And even chapter 18, as we come to the close of this book, notice chapter 18, and read with me, 17 through 20, and I'll show you the point. Chapter 18, 17 through 20. For in one hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships and the sea by reason of her costliness. Verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God had avenged you on her. What are we reading about beginning at verse 17 and really even earlier? The crumbling of the Roman Empire. This great city was falling. This great city was being destroyed. What was God doing? What's the point that we see here in chapter 18? Not only does prayer get heaven's attention, chapter 8. Chapter 18, God answers our prayers. God answers our prayers. You remember chapter 6? Lord, how long will it be till You avenge us? Remember that was the altars, the souls, the spirits crying out in the Hadean realm. How long? Here in chapter 18, God answered those prayers. God avenged those fallen saints. Oh, the book of Revelation, it teaches us about the suffering saints, and it teaches us about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, but it teaches us so much about the power of prayer. And it's through prayer, as we mentioned earlier, that these saints gain the victory. Oh, certainly it was through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and certainly it had to do with their faith, but prayer played an important part in all of this, in bringing about the victory. Oh, Rome was powerful. The devil, the dragon, was powerful. But do you see what's more powerful than the Roman Empire? And do you see what is more powerful than the dragon? It's the power of prayer. And that's why we should pray without ceasing. That's why we should approach our Heavenly Father and pray and pour out our prayers to God. Because prayer is precious. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful privilege. God hears us. God answers our prayers. In James 5, verse 16, we're encouraged to confess our faults to one another and pray for the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Friends, that's how we gain the victory as the children of God. It's through the power of prayer. You think about Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 after he obeyed the gospel. Remember, he transgressed against God's will. You remember what Peter told him? He needed to repent and pray to God that perhaps that evil would be forgiven him. You and I, that's how we confess our faults to God. We do so through prayer. We're not baptized again. We approach the throne of God's grace. We approach God's divine throne room, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, to help us to find grace and mercy in time of need. But if we're going to do that, we need to understand how precious prayer is. It's like golden bowls. We need to understand that God hears our prayers, and that's why we shouldn't cease from praying. We need to be persistent in our prayers. God will hear us and God will answer us. That's what He has promised. But He does so on His timetable. What we have to do is learn to put our faith and trust in God. We're not wasting God's time. And God encourages us to pray. How's your prayer life this morning? I hope this morning you will really take to heart what we're showing from the book of Revelation, because it can teach us some wonderful, wonderful truths about the privilege of prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you want to develop your relationship with God, if you're a child of God, if you want to grow, you want to be closer to God, you think about what we said this morning and you take time to pray to God, knowing you're not wasting His time. You're not burdening Him. This is His delight to see His children cast their care upon Him. And that's what we see in the book of Revelation. This morning, if we can help you spiritually speaking, to become a child of God, one must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must hear the gospel. We must believe. We must repent. We must confess the precious name of Jesus. We must be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And after we've obeyed the gospel, we must live faithfully unto death. And we have so many resources, and this is just one of them, that can help us be faithful to death this morning. If we can help you, if we can pray with you, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.